Hello and welcome to MP Access, the official podcast of Mortgage Point and the Five Star Institute. My name is Gina Galusha. I'm the Executive Director of Membership. And today we have Darren Bloomquist with us, who is the Data Analyst Extraordinaire at Auction. I know that's not your official title.
Yeah, I like that one better. I'll see if I can get promoted.
Yes.
Data Analyst Extraordinaire. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Great to have you. So I've sat in on so many of your economics and market outlook presentations, and they're always so rich with data, no matter where the market is. And talk to us a little bit about your role at Auction and what you do with that data.
Sure. Yeah. And I love to dazzle people with data. Probably too much sometimes. Their eyes glaze over. But yeah, my title at Auction is head of market economics. So I consider what I get to do a very fun job. I get to look at the data, both the market data that's out there. There's a lot of great market data, as well as our own data at auction.com. We have a very rich data set because we're transacting. Right now, we're transacting 20,000 plus transactions a year, and not just the actual transactions, but the bidding that happens. We're seeing how right. people are behaving in terms of their bidding behavior,
yes.
Who's bidding, and all that stuff. And all that data I get to look at as well and mash it all together and help provide insights. Both, you know, the three audiences I'm looking at are our internal audience, which is our employees as well as our executives and even our board, who's trying to make decisions for the company, where the company's headed based on the market and making strategic decisions based on that. And then second audience would be our sellers, mm-hmm. who are at this particular conference, mortgage servicers, as well as government agencies who are making decisions about selling these properties that are distressed. And then the third audience is our buyers who are on the other side of the transaction, making decisions about purchasing these properties. So taking all that data and helping provide those three audiences with insights to help them make better decisions about going forward. And at the end of the day, the goal is to get everybody to a place where, or both sides, at least the seller and the buyer, to the place where they're willing to make that transaction. They come, they agree this is the price that this property should sell for. And the transaction happens, and that's when we succeed.
Right, absolutely. The market decides, right?
That's right.
The market
exactly.
decides the worth. I missed, sadly, your presentation yesterday to NMSA. Can you give us the highlights of what we're seeing right now?
Sure. I think the thesis that in the macro market is really a strained consumer. The consumers are strained. The delinquency rates are starting to come up. Delinquency rates on non-mortgage loans have been rising for quite some time, but now we're seeing that ripple out to mortgage loans as well over the last really year and a half. Mm-hmm. And it's not a crisis, but I would call it a reversion to the mean at this point,
right.
where we're getting back to what was considered normal levels of foreclosure activity and distress. And it's never comfortable to see those numbers going up and you start to see pretty big percentage increases. But before I get too deep into the distress and foreclosure market, the economy is stressing the consumer. And so that is creating stress for homeowners. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing rising levels of delinquencies as a result. On the housing market side of things, that's not helping because we have the sluggish housing market that was booming a couple of years ago and now is in the doldrums. And we're seeing 4 million home sales a year, which is very low relative to the number of homes we have in the country and also just historically. And home price appreciation is basically flat nationwide. We have about 40% of markets where home price appreciation is actually negative right now. And I would call this a slow motion home housing correction that we're seeing across the mm-hmm. market. And so that's not helping as well with consumers. And then you get to the distressed market. And on top of all that stress, you also have policy changes, which I think are actually good policy changes that need to be made in terms of loss mitigation,
right,
and getting away from the pandemic era emergency mindset of we're just going to throw whatever we can at consumers to help them stay in the home, which was good for that era. But now we're in a new era where we don't need to be doing that. And it's actually not helpful at the end of the day for those consumers to be just strung along, right, indefinitely. And so you combine all those together and we're seeing rising delinquencies, rising foreclosure starts, and now even when it comes to our platform on auction.com, seeing rising foreclosure auctions happening. And some of the percentages are pretty big increases, but if you look at it relative to 2019 levels, we're still actually well below those.
Right, right. So with the slow correction, it's kind of like, you know, tell me if this analogy is not correct. I trust you to
I love analogies. I want to hear this.
Okay. Yeah. So you know how they say a really big ship is hard to turn around, right? And we had crazy increases in housing prices in 21, 22 that are unrealistic, honestly,
absolutely,
to stay that way.
Yeah.
And so you're saying it's a slow correction, which reminds me of a big ship turning around, whereas in like 2008, it's like the Titanic.
I actually think that's a great analogy. Okay. I hadn't heard that, but yes. And I'd much rather have the slow turn than the Titanic situation.
Mm-hmm.
You have the market adjusting slowly. And part of what's helping that is you don't have the massive oversupply of housing, at least nationwide,
right,
that you had back in 2008.
You have the opposite, right?
Yeah, you have the opposite. You have right. this, what economists would call a structural undersupply. Mm-hmm. Home builders have actually built less than what is needed for household formation. Now, I would say just a little sidebar on that. There are certainly some markets where we see some oversupply and home builders have been a lot more active, most commonly across the Southeast and into basically the Sun Belt, mm-hmm, across kind of the bottom half of the country.
I love that description of that area, partly because I moved to Texas for the sun, but it just makes sense too.
Yeah,
you know?
The Sun Belt or the Smile. So, you know, that's another way.
Oh,
the Smile,
I love that one
the
too.
Smile states.
The Sunshine Smile.
Yes.
Okay.
So unfortunately, I mean, that's just a sidebar, but there has been some overbuilding there, I would say. But generally speaking, we're structurally undersupplied. So that's helping, even though I would describe it, some people would probably flinch at this, but a home price bubble that we had during the pandemic,
right,
unsustainable, absolutely, 15 to 20% month, you know, year over year increases in home price appreciation monthly.
Right.
And over a period of, I think, 3 years, we saw 40% to 50% increases nationwide in home prices.
Mm-hmm.
That's unsustainable. And we're coming down from that sugar high is another way to describe it. And it's not necessarily pleasant, but at least in my view, it's the best case scenario where we're coming down slowly and not necessarily crashing.
Right. When you think about those three segments that you kind of look through the lens of data for, what would you say to each of those segments in terms of strategy for the coming year?
Yeah, for those three segments, I think for the first two segments, which is internally, our employees,
mm-hmm,
as well as the sellers, is prepare for more volume. Actually, all three segments.
Right.
That's really the big message. Now, the decisions you make based on more volume coming to foreclosure auction is different. But certainly, I think we are already seeing more volume coming in the first quarter than we did last year. And so, you know, for us internally, we have to prepare for that and be ready, have our operations, mm-hmm, and marketing and all of that ready for more volume, which is, you know, a good problem to have internally. And then for our sellers, it's also, you know, really important. And this is the message I had yesterday, especially to many of the servicers, is we're seeing more volume, but the market is sluggish. And so you also have to adjust pricing expectations, which is a big conversation. We're seeing that in the retail market, and this all, you know, ties back to what we were talking about in terms of this unsustainable home price appreciation during the pandemic. And during the pandemic also, there were very few foreclosures, but the foreclosures were there. They were selling like hotcakes. And a mortgage servicer, government agency could put a property up for auction and it would sell very quickly at a very high price. And unfortunately, we just can't have that expectation anymore in terms of on the seller side. Mm-hmm. Is you have to listen to the market and adjust to the market. To in the long run, at the end of the day, for these servicers and government agencies, it's about loss severity, limiting the losses on these loans that have gone bad, unfortunately. And so pricing strategically is going to be super important as we see volumes coming up.
And when you, I'm assuming incorrectly, when you have someone listing on y'all's site, you give them a kind of range that they should start at, right? And that's based on the data and, mm-hmm. and that timely data, right?
That's right. We have so much data on what current market conditions are, what bidders are willing to pay at right now. And so we do have recommendations like this. We call it well priced. So if a property is in that range, we don't tell our sellers how to price the properties, but we say, if you price it at this amount, we consider this well priced and it's probably going to sell quickly. If you price it here, it's not well priced and it's probably not going to sell quickly. And so we do have recommendations and, many of our sellers are using our data, mm-hmm. ingesting that to help them make their decisions about pricing. And of course there's limitations based on whether the loan is a government insured loan or whether it's a Fannie or Freddie loan in terms of pricing, where there are limitations. But we do see more than for sure, even just 5 years ago, a willingness to look at the data and make adjustments to pricing based on the data and making adjustments to other pieces of selling a property based on the data. So that's really good news.
That is good news. And time on market, is that going, are we seeing it go down? Are we seeing it stay steady?
Well, in terms of the retail market, days on market is continuing to rise. Mm-hmm. And that's part of we're really shifting from what was a very strong seller's market a couple of years ago into a buyer's market. And I think more and more individual local markets are becoming buyer's markets where the buyers have the advantage. And because of that, days on market is going up.
Right.
And buyers have more time to decide. And that affects the auction environment as well. We do two different types of auction. We do the foreclosure auction and the bank-owned or REO auction. On the foreclosure auction side, it's kind of one and done. And so if you don't sell on the courthouse steps on that day,
right.
It doesn't sell. Or it doesn't sell at foreclosure auction. It goes to REO. And so that's a little different environment where there's no days on market. It's just minutes on market basically at that point. And how many bidders there are and how long that bidding goes. Mm-hmm. We do have some innovative programs, something called Extend the Bid, where if it doesn't sell, but we get a high bid that's really close to what the seller wants, we might come back and re-auction it later.
Right.
But we have to stay within state statute to do that. So I know you asked about days on market, but nerding out on the auction process because I think it's very interesting, but it becomes more important to price well at the auction if you want to get it sold, because you just have that one chance to sell at the foreclosure auction.
Honestly, you anticipated my next question, so well done.
Okay.
What are you thinking in terms of when pricing is going to normalize back to the mean? How long do we think that's going to take?
I think it's ideally, it's a process of maybe like 5 years. And we're actually, I would say, maybe a couple of years into this.
Yes.
Really, 2022 was a huge flashpoint because that's when mortgage rates spiked. And so midway through 2022, mortgage rates spiked. That shocked the market. And we didn't see an immediate reaction. But since then, if looking back, many markets peaked around June of 2022 and have been slowly coming down from there. Mm-hmm. And so we're actually, two or three years into this.
Right.
And I think one or two years more, and we could be back to where home prices are more in line with incomes. Mm-hmm. And that one of the metrics I look at is price to income ratio. Right. And that has been out of whack. Not surprisingly, right? That's what affordability is all about. And so homes have been unaffordable. We're slowly getting back to better affordability, but it's at the rate we're going right now, which is a good rate. It's good to be going slow.
Yes.
As we mentioned, we'll be back to that affordability, kind of normal affordability in probably about 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. When it comes to the signals we're seeing in the market, what are the most misunderstood things that people see in the data and in the market and how they understand them?
Yeah, I think, and this gets back a little bit to what we were talking about earlier, but when people see right now, especially in this environment, foreclosure activity rising, say 50%, 60%, the initial thought may be, oh, we're in another crisis. We're back to 2008, or even we're back to COVID.
Right.
And we need to do something. And we need, especially from a government agency perspective, maybe we need to throw in foreclosure moratoriums or do another big forbearance program. And at this point, I'm not saying that couldn't happen in the future, but right now when we're seeing those big percentage increases, that's not what that means. Mm-hmm. Because you put it in, we have to put it that in context with the normal level. And we're coming off of historical lows during the pandemic in terms of foreclosures, basically in some ways almost down to nothing. But even before that, if you go back to 2019, foreclosure levels were already historically low then. And so just to put some numbers around this, in 2019, we saw about 200,000 completed foreclosure auctions out of really 5 to 6 million home sales. So it's a drop in the bucket already. During the pandemic, it got down to 60,000 completed foreclosure auctions, as low as that. Even last year in 2025, we were at 84,000.
Right.
So we're still less than half of that 200,000 in 2019. I think probably in 2026, we're going to see more like 90 to 100,000 completed foreclosure auctions, which percentage-wise is a fairly decent increase. Mm-hmm. And in some states, it's going to be a lot bigger increase. But we're still, at least nationwide, not even close to that pre-pandemic level. So I think that's a misunderstood trend that we need to be looking at. That's probably the biggest one I would point out right now.
Mm-hmm. And what is something that could take it from a slow moving ship to maybe not a Titanic moment, but like, you know, more of a sinking ship? Is I've heard thrown about like job loss, things like that. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that could be those signals they need to watch for?
Well, I mean, honestly, we're going through a potential one right now. So, you know, what economists would call a black swan event, something we don't see coming.
Yes.
But the conflict in Iran is, you know, that's really causing this supply shock.
I don't think anybody saw that coming.
Yeah. And so that's going to have ripple effects, especially if it lasts for a long time. Mm-hmm. The economy is very resilient and has been doing a good job of standing up under the pressure of that so far. Mm-hmm. But something like that was an extended shock could certainly be something that spins us into a deeper recession on an economic level, but then on the housing level into a sharper downturn.
Okay.
That would be one thing. I think certainly jobs, the employment, the labor market is a huge piece of this. And if we saw the labor market, it's been kind of hanging by a thread over the last year. And if we saw that more substantially, see some of the jobs numbers go downward, that could be a trigger as well. So there's certainly risks out there, mm-hmm. and there's other risks as well that could spin this into a bigger, a faster moving train or a faster moving ship.
Right.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay. We talked earlier about how folks should be preparing for more volume, right? Kind mm-hmm. of going back to that norm in the next 1, 2, 3 years. What is the difference between a well-prepared organization outside of like prepping for that volume versus someone who's going to be scrambling?
I think just really paying attention to the market trends. And of course, you know, I'm biased in that because that's what I love to do. But and a lot of times we talk about internally in auction.com, and I think this is true for more organizations, you're not going to control the market. Mm. It's not something you control, but it also doesn't mean that's something you ignore. You need to pay attention to it and listen to it, especially so when it comes to mortgage servicing, staffing up appropriately to handle the additional volume. Mm-hmm. but also pricing, which we've talked about, which I'll keep coming back and hammering on, but understanding the pricing in the market to, and the whole point of pricing is not just to sell more properties. Auction.com, we want to sell more properties, sure, but for the mortgage servicer and these government agencies, it's super important for loss severity.
Right.
And at the end of the day, for some of these government-backed loans, which account for about a third of all foreclosures right now, or actually more than a third, that ultimately could affect the taxpayer as well. So, for instance, you have the FHA fund that is there, and it's been very healthy over the last few years. But if some of these losses ate into that fund, that could impact taxpayers. And so thinking about listening to the market and paying attention to strategically price assets to make sure that you're mitigating your losses on these loans,
right.
I think it's going to be an organization that's listening to the market, following the data, is going to be a lot better positioned than one that says, well, we can't control it, so let's ignore it.
Shifting to the buyer side, from the servicing and, you know, kind of auction side, what are you seeing in buyer trends and what they're up to?
Yes. And this is something that's become a lot more important over the last few years. We've realized we have this treasure trove of data with our buyers, mm-hmm. and not just what they're doing on our site, but what they're telling us. And they are typically, our buyers are, they're not the big Wall Street firms that maybe people think they are, or maybe they were 15 years ago, but no longer is the case. Most of them are what we call local community developers, who are just a local investor. They are investors who are, but they're buying in a local area that's usually they can drive within 2 hours of where they live, or 1 hour of where they live. And in fact, the average mileage, or the median mileage between our buyers and the properties they buy is under 20 miles. So anyway, most of them are very close, so they understand their market very well. Mm-hmm. And so their behavior tells us a lot about what's going to happen in the market. And their behavior right now is very, their behavior is all, we also survey them, and what they're saying, their sentiment is very low right now. In fact, we just did a survey this year, and if you look at some of the metrics, I would say they're the most bearish on the housing market that they've been since we started the survey back in 2022. So they're not very confident in the real estate market. It does now. They're still. What's interesting is they're still buying, and they're still willing to buy because they basically run small businesses that need inventory to keep moving and to keep the jobs that they're providing, maybe like 10 to 20 jobs in their if you include contractors. And so they want to keep buying, and they have the desire to keep buying, but they're not going to keep. They're disciplined. If they're going to survive, they've got to remain disciplined as well. And so they're telling us, we ask a question around, what do you think home prices are going to do this year? 43% said they think actually home prices are going to decrease in their local market this year. That's the highest percentage we've seen since we started doing this back in 2022.
Interesting.
The same 31% say that they think rents are going to decrease this year. Which is also the highest percentage. And then 59% say they're planning to increase their purchases. So that's more than half. They're still kind of optimistic about purchases, but if you compare that to previous years, that's the lowest it's been. So they're the least optimistic in terms of price appreciation, rent appreciation, as well as their purchase expectations for this year. So that tells me that they're usually pretty accurate about where the market is going. That tells me that this market still has, you know, when we talk about how far does this market still have to go down, that's why I think it's another 1 to 2 years. Or part of the reason I think it's another 1 to 2 years, because our buyers are telling us that's what they see in their market. And the sales rate in terms of not just what they say, but what they're doing, the sales rate on our platform has gone down. It was at an all-time high during the pandemic of around 60%. It's come down to under 50% now. But what's really interesting is they still want to buy. The buyers still want to buy. And so if the price is right, they'll still buy. And we saw, I would commend HUD, they're listening to the market, and more than they have in the past. and they made a pricing adjustment. They call it their haircuts to the properties that are selling on our platform. And we just saw the early results from that, from what's called Super Tuesday in Texas and Florida in April. And the results were great. I mean, we saw pricing came down a little bit based on these haircuts, and they're based on metro area haircuts. It's not just, it used to be state level haircuts, so that's an improvement that was made.
That is an improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, it
metro
is.
Metro, because there's such a difference between
absolutely.
Each, you know, city.
And Brilliant. And they want to get even more local. So that's a great thing. But the results that we saw, this pricing adjustment, were in the HUD portfolio around a 20% increase in sales rate, which is not 20%, but 20 percentage points. And so that's huge.
That is.
And that tells me that if the pricing is right, these properties will sell.
Because they're still watching. And
yeah,
waiting,
they're still there. They still want to buy. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the what they're giving up in what we call price execution, because the fear is, oh, I'm just like if you're selling your house, so like, I don't want to put in a lowball price because then I might sell it for less than what I want to sell it for. But what's happening, especially in the auction environment, is the market is price realizing. And so they're giving up maybe a couple points in price execution, but their sales rate is going up 20 points, and that's far offsetting the loss in price execution. Mm-hmm. And so that's really encouraging for me to see our sellers listening to the market and even listening to our buyers, even though they're, in a sense, you know, buyers and sellers are on opposite sides. Buyers want to buy at the lowest price and sellers want to sell at the highest price possible. But when both sides are looking at the data and making decisions based on that, you come to that price realization point where the property sells. And we're starting to see more of that happening. And it was really encouraging to see this Super Tuesday results with the price changes.
Okay. And you think that will hold?
I think so. Yes. And I think there'll be momentum because going back to our buyer survey, one of the other pieces of it, we ask a question around, do you think your market is overvalued with a correction possible? And that number, 36% of our buyers said, yes, their market's overvalued. But that's actually the lowest percentage we've seen in the last 5 years.
Really?
So that, which seems to conflict with what they're saying otherwise. But my interpretation there is that, yes, they saw the housing price bubble over the last few years, and they thought their markets were overvalued. They're seeing the air being slowly let out of the bubble. And so fewer of them think that their markets are overvalued. They still think there's some air to be let out of the bubble. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this, things are getting better. Home prices are getting more affordable, and so that's really encouraging, but we've still got a little ways to go before we're back to that normal, is what our buyers are telling us. And so that's kind of the conundrum there. But the good news, I think, for our sellers is if they're getting ahead of the market rather than reacting to the market, then they're going to be able to get ahead of that curve and actually we're going to see that those sales rates hold if that continues.
Right. No, that makes sense. What haven't we covered that you think is important for folks on this podcast to hear?
Yeah, I think just getting back a little bit more to our buyers, the more I get to know our buyers, not just in the data, but I actually get to talk to them, like they're my heroes because and that's the opposite of what I think a lot of people think. And there's bad players out there. There's investors who are taking advantage of the system. But we believe by creating a transparent marketplace for auctions and not just having it the way it used to be, where it was just a group of guys, you know, kind of the insider circle gathered at the collusion corner is what my boss calls it, at the courthouse steps, where there are just a few people gathered around who knew what was going on. We're very transparent. And so we're bringing in even owner occupant buyers to the auction, which is really crazy. People who are buying their first home at auction.
Yes.
And I just talked to a lady in Oklahoma who did that, and she's about to have a her and her husband are about to have a baby. They needed a bigger home. This property was listed on the MLS, but it was someone who was facing foreclosure. They didn't sell it on the MLS. It went to foreclosure auction. They went to the foreclosure auction and bought the property, and which is as their first home.
Savvy.
Yeah. And so it's now I'm not saying that's for everyone.
Right.
But what I'm saying is our buyers maybe are not who a lot of folks think they are. Most of them are these local community developers who know their community really well, but also care about their community and are doing really good things. Mm-hmm. And it's really exciting. You know, there's the challenge in this market is housing supply and affordable housing supply specifically. And our buyers, I believe, are providing at least a piece of that solution because they're taking these distressed properties, and whether they're a first-time home buyer, owner-occupant. Now, most of them, probably about 70% of them, are these local community developers, mm-hmm. but they're still taking these homes, rehabbing them, and then selling them back to an owner-occupant in many cases,
right.
or renting them
yep.
as affordable housing supply. So they're doing a lot of good in their communities, and the homes that even the homes that resell on our platform, so they sell on our platform and then they're rehabbed and resold, on average, those are selling 32% below average market prices. So they're still very affordable. Mm. And so I just want to tout the fact that our buyers are many times heroes in their local right. housing markets, really providing that affordable housing supply.
That's very cool. I think because of my work to a certain extent and my interests, I get served on Instagram pretty often, like, how do you become an investor, you know, in rental properties or Airbnbs and those kinds of things. And I actually saw one that listed y'all
oh, yeah.
as a resource to go find your first investment property, you know, so it's definitely out there.
Yeah. And we see a lot of first time buyers, but also a lot of, or an increasing number, about 20% when we surveyed of our buyers say they're owner occupant buyers, which may be a surprise to people, like buying their home to live in. But then we do also see a lot of first-time investors who are wanting to build generational wealth for their families. And I mean, I can't vouch for every program that cites auction.com, but so you know, you need to be careful and eyes wide open. There's gurus out there who I would say are not reputable, but in any case, we love to think of ourselves as a source for those buyers to actually build that generational wealth and benefit the community by doing so.
Darren, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be here, Gina. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Love picking your brain about data because you are just, again, a wealth of knowledge. So we appreciate you coming and sharing, and we appreciate you listening. We hope you learned lots and are prepared for the days to come.
Thanks for listening to MP Access. Stay up to date with daily mortgage news, featured stories, and our latest episodes of the podcast at themortgagepoint.com. Don't miss out. We'll see you next week.